Hello, welcome to Frosto Talks. I'm your host, Frosto. Just an all-around regular guy trying to spread overwhelming positivity and help you look at the brighter side of things. Why, hello everyone, and welcome to an episode of Frosto Talks. I'm your host, Frosto. Out here bringing you another 5 a.m. banger. As oftentimes I'll come up with some topics or things that I want to share with you at the most random times and hours of the day. And I think to myself, oh man, I gotta lay this down. kind of sound like a rapper, right? Like, oh, gotta lay down this track. I gotta lay down this verse. No, on the contrary, I am not musically inclined. I just like to hear myself talk. But for real, I've said it before on other podcasts that I come to you with things that sporadically come up in my life, and I have a rule. If the universe puts something in front of me on three different occasions, I look into it a little bit deeper. That's how my obsessions with everything have grown. And go figure that when I typically say that to myself about something, well, guess what? The universe puts the same shit in front of me three different times by either three different people at three different occasions. So for that reason, I come up with my topics. And not only my topics, but I come up with the title. I guess that's my creative strategy, right? I realize something, notice something, or have come to the conclusion of something. I try and formulate it in a way that I can share it with you guys. Because, once again, like I've mentioned in other podcasts, my goal is to kind of narrate my current life while using some of my past experiences as examples for why I do the things that I do or why I don't do the things that I do. And in a way, try and put it all together, blend it, so the outcome could be positivity. I mean, for those that have stuck with me this long or have heard a single one of my podcasts, the intro states, trying to help you look at the brighter side of things. And because it's the truth, right? I do. And I'm not saying I've been through a lot, although I've been through more than some. But it's the resilience that I've learned in the process that has allowed me the mental and emotional maturity to be honest with myself. And that's something that I feel like is invaluable, right? Like, you can't live life with the same mindset. I remember when memes became memes back in the good old days of the early 2000s, maybe late 2000s, no, early 2000s. Would late 2000s be like the 2010s, like right at the beginning of the 2010s? Anyway, you know what I mean, 2009, 2010. Jesus, man, that was 12 years ago. That's weird. Anyway, back to my point. Anyway, it was a meme, and it said, you know, if you are 23 and you have the same mindset as 18, you have wasted 5 years. And I couldn't agree with that more at the time. And I remember when I read it at the time, I was like 22, 23, thinking that my mindset was completely different of that of an 18-year-old. So that's why I was like, yeah. Truth be told, and I can be honest with you guys, I was probably dumber. But mindset had definitely changed. And the reason for that is because priorities definitely changed. But I say all that to say this. The point of my topic, or the point of my podcast, the point of this episode today, and the thing that has been coming up a lot lately has been my circle of friends. You know, really taking a deep look into who I surround myself with. And I've often caught myself saying that I pride myself in surrounding myself with good men, like solid dudes, good husbands, good partners, good fathers more than anything. I'm gonna keep it 1,000th with you, dog. Like, if I know of a guy that is a deadbeat father, like, I can't fuck with them. And no world would I want to or care to socialize with this person. Just because, like, in my mind, like, I'm not one of those people like, oh, my kids are my world. No, I mean, they're cool. Don't get me wrong. I love them. But it's more than that. It's more than love. It's your duty. It's your duty. It's your responsibility to be a good father. It's your duty. That's the only word I can think of. It's your responsibility. It's your privilege to raise good human beings, especially if you're a pessimistic ass motherfucker that is always complaining about this, that, and the other, and you have kids. That's your way to contribute. That's your way to give back to society by raising good humans, so that way they can go out in the world and make it better in some way or another. And that's my job. That's how I see it. So, as you can imagine, I take that responsibility head on and I give it my all. And yes, as much as I want my kids to love me, because, right, what parent doesn't want their kids to love you? It's way more important for me, for my kids to understand where I'm coming from. And I mean, we've all been there, right? We've all had that one experience with our parents, or, you know, that one incident where, you know, things got a little rough, and, you know, years later, you think back and you realize, oh shit, my mom, my dad, you know, whoever took that role, they were just trying to do right by me. They were just trying to show me the right way. They were just trying to, you know, they weren't trying to take away my fun. They were trying to help me grow. And, you know, I've said it 1,000 times to my wife, especially with my oldest, Liam, you know, who, you know, he's at that age. He's turning fucking 12 in a week. Whew. Damn, that's wild, man. My little boy's growing up. But I'm fully aware that at this age, you know, they got to challenge dad, man. They got to challenge you. They got to challenge you as a man. You know, they have to have that first wave, that first, you know, crack at the throne, if you will. And I'm prepared. I'm prepared for it. And every time he gets upset with me, I say the same thing. I'm like, listen, man, you are going to hate me for so many other reasons in this lifetime that I'll take this L right now. Because it's true. I mean, how many of us have thought that? How many of us have thought, oh, I can't stand my parent because this, that, and the other, whatever, whatever. When in reality, you were probably wrong. But at the time, right, you're letting your fucking childish emotions get the best of you. So, you know, for that reason, I take my role as a parent, as a father, so serious. And that's what's one of the qualities that I look for in my friends and the men that I choose to surround myself with. You know, things have gotten vastly different from our youth, right? Back in the day, it was about quantity, not quality. It was about how many friends you had. It was about how many acquaintances you had. Bro, when I was in high school, I was the dude. And when I went into college, I was the guy. I remember moving to fucking 2 hours away, and I still eventually became the dude. My apartment became the spot, just because I was that guy. Like, I attract people because I'm fucking awesome. And I always had drugs on me. But anyway, that's besides the point. Now that I've gotten older, you know, I limit myself, and I can honestly count on one hand how many friends that I have. Two hands, and I'll give them that. Two hands. One hand for my LA peeps, another hand for the cats I've met out here in Arizona. You know, and again, the LA hand, you know, my LA peeps, like, they've been with me through thick and thin, you know. But one thing that I've realized now in my 30s is that your criteria of friendship definitely changes as you get older, right? Obviously, the guys that I grew up in high school with, the guys that I, you know, back home, they're my guys. They're my dudes. They've seen every phase of me. And if anything, they're proud of me. Some of them might not be parents. Most of them aren't parents. You know, most of them aren't married. But we have that bond from our childhood that, you know, keeps us together. But then as we get older, you know, we look for friendship in other ways. And, you know, the way that you, the qualities that you look for in a friend in your older age are completely different because your life's completely different. Again, now I'm a parent. You know, now I have a mortgage. Now I'm married. Now I have to, you know, juggle work and training and family and you know, me time and all this shit. So obviously you look for people that you could be compatible with and look for people that you have something in common with and you have shared interests in. So of course you're going to befriend more people that might not even be your age, a little older, but are in the same boat, right? Perfect example. All of my friends are all within the same year or two of each other. Not all of us are married or have friends. The cats that I consider friends now, fuck brothers, really. It, you know, they all range in age. Some are 5 years older than me. Some are 10 years older than me. Some are 1 year older than me, you know. So, you know, but the one thing that we all have in common is, one, or all of our wives are the same age, which is really funny. But two, we are all in the same boat. Bills, kids, marriage, happy, you know, work. And that's what I look for. That's what I look for in a friendship. And it wasn't until this weekend that it really hit me and it really resonated. You know, just to get a little personal with you right now, and I promise I'm not going to cry, but my mom's really been going through it. You know, she's at her, she's having her second bout with cancer. And, you know, let's just say that the good days are far and few in between right now. And, you know, what I mean by that is you have these memories of your mom and you know who she is as a person. And for those that have had the honor of meeting her and knowing her and getting fed by her, know the strong woman that she is. And she's going through it, man. She's going through it. You know, she's fucking fighting cancer. You know? And I carry a lot. I do. I carry a lot. I carry a lot. And I'm not sitting here to brag or to boast or woe is me. On the contrary, I take fucking pride in all that I do. I take pride in supporting my family and still trying to stay in shape and still trying to better myself every day and love my wife and honor her and raise my children. I take care. I take pride in all that is on my fucking plate. And it's a lot. Now, to add on top of that, my mom? Oh, brother. Some could say that's the straw that breaks the camel's back, but it isn't. It hasn't. And one of the main reasons for that is because of my circle of friends. It's because who I've chosen to surround myself with. You know, we've all heard the expression, right? Birds of a feather flock together. My stepdad, you know, who I didn't have the best relationship with, but he had some golden nuggets there, you know, here and there. And he would always tell me, you know, in Spanish, dime con quien andas y te digo quién eres, right? Let me see who you're with and I'll tell you who you are. And that saying couldn't be any more true, because whether it's acceptance or influence or, you know, whatever, the people that you choose to surround yourself with is who you are a reflection of. And again, from personal experience, I've had some of the best people. I've met some of the most amazing people in my life that I can call my friends and brothers. And I've been known to kick it with some pretty shady characters. I've said it 100 times, you know. I'm well aware of who I'm around. Now, and mind you, let me separate the two. There's who you're around and there's who you consider friends. And, you know, we all have those necessary evils in our life. The goal is to just limit your interaction with them. But when we're talking having over for dinner with my family, that's a completely different category. And because of those people that I can call my friends today is why I am able to succeed. you know, we had an event this past weekend, and at one point it was three of some solid dudes that I call friends, and we were just talking about life, man. And I was able to open up to them. I was able to let them in to my stresses and griefs. And the support, man, the support, the way they just jumped up, it was amazing. It was something that I can't say I've ever experienced before. And the reason for that is, yeah, I've heard it, like, I got your back, you know, just give me a call, you know, and we've all heard that, right? I got your back. But, like, this was one of the first times where I felt it. I felt it, where, like, I knew if I called any of these guys, they would be here in a fucking second. And that felt great, man. You know, something that I feel like the older millennials, right? Yeah, guys. People my age in your 30s, mid-30s, you're still considered a millennial. We're just the older millennials. We're in a very hybrid type situation because we grew up with the old guard, right? The manly men and, you know, man up and quit being a little pussy, quit being a little bitch and this and that, you know, toxic masculinity. But we've also seen the other side in our latter years. The point is to split the difference between PC culture, participation awards, and once again, the old guard. Man up, quit being a little bitch. And I feel like we're in a very unique position as men in their early 30s because we've seen both sides. And we don't necessarily need to accept and or agree with both, but we can take from both. And I feel like that's the one thing that the people closest to me, have in common is we can separate the two and take the good from both. I was talking to Trish last night, my wife, and that's when I had originally came to that realization that the ability to take pride in being a man, a real man, a supporting, loving husband and father man, and being vulnerable enough to acknowledge mental health, to acknowledge feelings, to acknowledge acceptance and forgiveness. That's a very unique position. That's a very unique spot to be in because we are, in a sense, superior. Think about it. We can see the mistakes of our fathers. And we can see the fear of the youth, and we can combine them and have a product of both, but only the positives of both, because there are positives of both. And you have to look at these things, you know, objectively, really, and really remove emotion out of it and just focus on how you can use the societal norms that you grew up with and are currently living in and be a better person because of them. So for that reason, I can't stress enough how important it is to truly invest in your friends, invest in your circle, help each other be better. As a matter of fact, that's one thing one of my homeboys said, you know, and he said, you know, I love us because we're constantly trying to push each other to be better, but celebrate each other's wins, which is even more important, right? Like, there's nothing wrong with little competition here and there, and that's fucking awesome. But don't be a fucking hater. You know what I mean? Like, you know, if you got that work colleague that beat you out, you know, this week or this month, all right, cool, congratulate him, work harder. You know, you got your homeboy in my situation. We all train jiu-jitsu, right? You know, we got that homeboy that fucking submitted you or fucking rocked you all around. All right, cool. Congratulate him. Get better. And that's the whole purpose, is to elevate each other. And if you're in a group of friends that are constantly tearing you down and making you feel bad, or what's the word that the kids are using these days? Gaslighting. There we go. you know, constantly gaslighting each other. I don't know if I use it right, but if you're surrounded by those people, you're fucking up, man. You're limiting your potential, because like the saying says, it takes a village. It surely does. We can't do it alone. We can't. I don't care how comfortable with solitude you are, or how lone wolf of a fucker you are. You can't do it alone. I mean, think about it. In prison, when you get in trouble, you get sent to isolation. So in the worst place in the fucking world, where you don't want to be surrounded with people, a punishment is to not be surrounded by people. You know, you need human interaction. I believe they did a study. They did a test years ago. It was a really, really, really extreme. I don't know how they got away with it. And I'm sorry, because it is escaping me. But I promise you it is real. And bear with me. All right. So I try to pull it up right now, and I can't find it. So I apologize if there was a weird break in there, because I stopped to use my Google powers. But essentially, in the experiment, I want to say it was in the early 1900s, they got a group of babies, and they, from birth, I don't know where the parents were, but they got the group of babies from birth, and they were instructed, nurses were instructed to give them the fundamental, you know, their fundamental needs, food, water, clothing, shelter, right? And no affection, no touch, and no interaction, just giving them those essential items as babies, as infants, and to see the result and how they would grow up. Well, the reason why the experiment was condoned and just, you know, labeled too extreme was because the babies died. That's right. The babies began to get very ill, and they eventually died. I think all of them, if not like 80% of the babies died. And I know I'm butchering the study, so I do apologize. But again, it is real, and I did read it. And, you know, that just goes to show you how important human interaction is. So if human interaction is that important, why waste your time surrounding yourself with shitty fucking people? You know, when things are going bad, the first place is to look inward. And what a lot of people miss, because you're looking inward, is the people that surround you. Because in a way, that's outward, right? But in reality, the people that you surround yourself with are a reflection of who you are, or how you see you, how you see yourself, excuse me. You know, back in the day when I was living an unhonest life and I was a piece of shit and I was doing this, that, and the third, that's how I felt. That's how I felt about myself. So it made sense to hang out with grimy people, right? Well, I mean, at the time, I guess. Back in the early days of trying to get sober and my sobriety and trying to kick drugs and oxy and all this other shit, I still hung out with the same people. I remember at one time I was occupying my time before I met my wife with a female. And sorry, honey. And she would get on me because I would, quote, want to get sober, but I would hang out with my supplier. So she's like, well, how does that make sense? How are you trying to get sober, quote, trying to get sober, and you go over and all they're doing is getting loaded, or there are people around him getting loaded. And at the time I was like, nah, I'm cool. I'm stronger than that. But sure enough, you know, the only difference between getting loaded, you know, 7 days a week is it went down to 5, and technically 6, because 2 of those days would probably blend together. And I didn't want to hear it. I didn't want to hear it because it was true. So it wasn't until I improved myself and wanted to get better that I started to cut those people out of my life. And not because I thought I was better or superior or I hated them. No, on the contrary, I still have a lot of love for these people. But our priorities change, and we're not in the same boat. And they're not improving, adding, or amplifying my life. They're not adding any benefit to who I am today. So why waste my time that is so valuable and special and precious with those that I have nothing in common with anymore? I'm still cordial. If we were to see each other today, you know, be what's up, all love. But I'm probably not inviting you to dinner. And again, nothing on them. I just, We don't have anything in common anymore. So for that reason, I pride myself on the people that I do choose to hang around with. You know, again, I'm my time is valuable. My time is precious. From the moment I wake up to the moment I go to bed, every single time slot is filled with an activity, whether it's meetings, training for work, training for me, traveling for work, you know, appointments with clients, time with my family, jiu-jitsu, coaching the kids. It's a lot. Like, you could ask me what I'm doing on any given day at what time, and I could probably have an answer for you because I've planned it the day before. Go check out Morning Routine, a previous podcast. But yeah. So once again, man, if you're feeling down, if you're feeling out, if you're feeling less than, if you feel like you're not living to your true potential, start looking inward. And after you've done that, start looking around. Because when you start to realize who you're hanging with, who you're spending your time with, your precious, valuable time with, you'll realize the reflection that I'm talking about. You'll realize the influence that they have on you. So yeah, that's it. That's all I got. Till next time, folks. Hope you have a great day.